subject matter that I'm going to talk about today, be honest about it, is quite emotional. It brings forth so many different responses. If I walk up to you on the street and we're having a greeting and I say the name Father, you're going to have a different response because of your relationship or the lack thereof of your father. And I'm not here to say that if you did not have a bad or a very good relationship, you had, to be honest, a bad relationship with your father. I'm not here to point you out. We live in an evil society, and people do things that are not right. And on the other hand, those of us who've had a father or do have a father that we still have a very good relationship with, we're blessed. We are blessed. And there's many of us that were raised in single-parent homes, and a lot of times that's a mother, and she has to do double duty. She has to do the things that a father would do as well as she was a husband or a father and mother together. The reason I'm saying this is because anytime you grab the newspaper and every time we look at the news, and we all know that the frustrations that's going on, not in this country, but also going on around the world, which God was so gracious to predict for us. But that doesn't mean that if we know about it happening, that doesn't take away the fact that we have to walk through it. We have to deal with it. And so with that thought in mind, there are things that we can do and that we must do to help us walk through these things that's going on about us. We have an obligation as a Christian, as a believer, to do. We have a set of outline and guidelines that's already presented to us. We have examples presented ahead of us. We have the prophetic words of the Word itself that tells us about things and how they're going to happen. But there again, you still have to step out on the football field and put helmet to helmet and play the game. You still have to run the race. You can't just stand on the sidelines and watch it go by. Kim Metter is an author of a book called A Bridge Called Hope. And she's a lady that lost both her parents at the same time when she was about 12 years old. She went through some very dark times because she had no leadership. She had nothing around her. She had some grandparents that were miles away, but she went through a very dark time in her life. And then somebody as a mentor came up to her because her love for horses and her love for disabled and handicapped and unfortunate children, she thought, I'm going to do something with my life for God. She was a believer. She believed dearly in Christ. She said, I'm going to take these two things, the loves of my life with the love of my Lord, and I'm going to do something. So she started a ranch rescuing horses that were neglected, bringing them back to good health, and then opening this ranch up to disabled children and those that were emotionally disturbed and like her, maybe didn't have any parents. And this whole book is a series of dozens of short stories of individuals, these children. I couldn't read more than a chapter at a time. I just couldn't do it. Not because I have the love for horses and not because I have a love for these children that are challenged, which I just substitute taught this past week, and that was the class that they put me in. Children that aren't normal, as we call normal. But anyway, one of her stories, true story. Somebody brought a 5-year-old boy who had been shuttled around from foster home at 5 years old, had been in numerous foster homes. And he began to already set into a calloused cocoon. He began to withdraw in himself. And she has found with so many of these experiences that the animals, the horses, begins to draw out of them who they are. And so it took several, probably an hour's worth of time with her visiting with the foster caregiver with him, getting him, because he was just off, quiet, wouldn't talk. He had lost his mother because she had done some things, was in prison. And when he was just months old, his father was out of his life for certain circumstances. And the man that his mother was living with, they weren't married. And when she went to prison, he left. So consequently, he was in the care of the state. Anyway, as they're talking, they're reviewing all these things so she'd have an idea of what's going on. And she looked down at this young boy, and she said something caught her attention. He had coal black hair and the bluest eyes and really long, almost girl-like eyelashes. He just had distinctive eyelashes. She made a mental note of that, and then so forth and so on. To hurry up with the story, he began to soften a little bit and begin to talk, just word at a time, when she introduced him to a neglected horse that needed love. Anyway, through the efforts of this one individual who was in the social services and with Kim and a group of others, they found his father miles and miles and miles away. And he had been trying through the legal system to try to get back in touch with him, at least to have visitation rights, not knowing that the child was in care of the foster in the state. On with my story. Just picture this. They get a hold of him, and he comes. Now, he hasn't seen this child since he was months old. Now he's 5 years old. They didn't want to scare him, the boy, with the introduction immediately of his father, because they thought he doesn't know him. Listen to me. He doesn't know him. And so they conjured up some kind of a little plan so that they would do things and just kind of softly break them into knowing each other. Not making an announcement to the boy that this is your biological father who loves you. Who loves you, but he's, for reasons we don't all understand, was not able to love him like he wanted to. Anyway, as the day went on, little at a time, they began to warm up. And while they were warming up, Kim was standing off the side and said it hit her. This boy looked exactly like his dad. Coal black hair, sky blue eyes, and long eyelashes. So as they were getting to know each other a little bit, they got the boy up on the saddle, and dad's kind of just leading him around, just talking to him a little bit. And she felt that this was the time to introduce him as dad. And so she very tenderly began to break open the conversation with that. And she said, "This is your real dad." He didn't know what to do. He began to, for a second, say, "Great," but then he just drew back into his cocoon. And she waited a little bit for him to have a chance to think about it. And so as a few seconds went by, she looked at him, and there they are, just a few inches apart, and seeing how much they look alike. And she said, "I'm going to call the boy the name Frank, but that wasn't his name. little Frank, she said, look at your dad. Look at him. She called him by his real name. Do you see anything? And he said, no. And so she began to describe the features that I just said, and the little boy melted. The first words out of his mouth was, Dad. I tell you this story because that young man and that husband or that father down a road of complete union. They followed up on them years later and found out even at that time they were still together. Thank God that the state awarded him custody and he began to be a father to them, to him. I'm telling you this story because that little boy was going through a hell that probably in the long run, if his father wouldn't have come into his life, maybe would have ended early. But because his father did come into his life, it changed him. It gave him what he wanted and what he needed. That poor little kid didn't know how to put it in words. He didn't know how to express himself. He knew that he was needing something that had to come from a greater authority, greater being, which was his father. Obviously, you know where I'm going with this. How is it with our Father in heaven, who is actually right here with us now because of his Holy Spirit? My scripture today was from 2 Corinthians 6:18. It's just one verse. You don't need to turn to it. And this is Paul quoting from the Old Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:18. It says, I will be, God speaking, I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons, and you'll be my daughters. Says God Almighty. God is proclaiming to us his fathership to us. He is claiming to us that he wants to love us beyond any measure that we've ever considered. The thing that happens is that we are held in check so many times about Father God is our physical father. That's why sometimes the bad experiences with fathers can just distort that. And so we keep our Heavenly Father at an arm's length. We love him, but we don't get close to him. And at the same time, he's trying to get close to us. Scripture teaches us that when we accept Jesus Christ, the famous scripture of John 3:16, and that chapter, that we become, or we are born again from above. Why is that so important? Why is this necessary? Just like the Father and this Son, they were blood. If this Son would have been a stepson, nothing wrong with that because there's wonderful parents that have stepchildren. I'm not speaking against that. What I'm saying is, when you have an opportunity to look God the Father in the face and say, I am your child, it's a necessary thing in our relationship with him. Nothing else matters. Think about that. Nothing else matters. He has extended his hand to each one of us and saying, I want to be, I am your father, but you got your hand out and I can't get any closer. I understand your hurts and your problems and your visions of things is holding me away. Just drop your guard and come to me. Go back to what I said when I opened up. We need to have this relationship because there's things coming in the world prophesied by God. Not somewhere across the ocean, but right here, that we need to be able to walk through. One of my professors in college said he had this, I should have brought it, but I got a plaque, quote from a famous pastor. It says, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, I am sure that your will and determination by setting your jaw that you're going to make it to the end in this life, you're gutting it out, is not going to make it. You will fall short. You do not have enough strength. You do not have enough strength. Things will come against you and knock you flat on your face. But he says, the love of the Father will pull you through and have you an overcomer when that time comes. It's the love relationship that the Father wants us to have, not only to experience, that real love, that real relationship of truth. God will never lie to you. That's what's going to motivate you. How many stories have we read, seen in the movie places, or even know that it was love that brought people through the terriblest times, whether it was for your child or your wife, your, maybe your comrade in battle, or maybe it's just the love of your country. You do things beyond, way beyond any man imaginable. Well, Jesus is saying, get to know the Father. Let that love settle in with you. Let that relationship be so fine and acute that when things get tough, when things get really rattled around you, you have Him. And in that relationship, we look and say, like Philip and Thomas, he says, show us the Father. Now, this is really odd. Whenever I read that scripture, I've always said, I use the word idiots. You've been with him because when this conversation is going on, it's right before he's going to be crucified, and he's being open with them. He's being really honest with them. And so they both says, well, show us the Father, and then we will be okay, or we'll believe. What does Jesus say? If you believe in me, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. That is so important in this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Christ's purposes here on earth was not only to perform and touch the people, to do the miracles that we read about, to show all that he has done, to die on the cross, which was perfect for the plan of God. But it says, I'm here to show you the Heavenly Father. Because when the kingdom time comes, Jesus is going to take all that he has done, and he's going to turn it over to the Father, and then the Father's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. Whoa. So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to take a closer look and maybe a more in-depth look of Jesus, how he responded to things, how he behaved in circumstances, what he'd done, maybe on his own initiative to do something for this person or persons. But all in along, he's doing these things, emanating God, the Father, showing his heart. That's so important, so important. The thing that concerns me that, literally, as I've prayed many times, is not disappointment that has brought me to tears. Literally, weeping with the Lord because I could just see him with his knee on his, or his elbow on his knee and his chin on his fist and weeping and saying, I don't know what else I can do to get them to love me. I don't know what else I can do to show them I'm real. I'm in it for them. I'm in it for their benefit. I love my children. I don't know what else I can do. But you know, he's long-suffering. He is careful with our hearts. He is tender because he knows that's a very sensitive subject. I was fortunate to have a father that I think was one of the greatest men that ever lived, but that doesn't mean that he was perfect. That doesn't take me away from the fact that I know that even in my family's relations and so forth, that there were fathers that were near evil. I know that reality. But on the side of God, I've never seen the Father fail. I've never seen him fail. Jesus said in this conversation in John 14:1, he says, if you believe in him, you have to believe in me. If you don't do that, at least believe in the things that I've done. He's doing everything he can for us to drop our defenses and recklessly abandon God the Father to love him. Just love him, just lay everything out there and say, okay, God, I have to trust you with me. I have to trust you with my life. You know, I can give him all my happy times. I can give him all the things that brings me joy, even though it's giving up that thing, whatever it may be, is a sacrifice. But boy, I do not want to give him those things that hurt me. That's just the way our nature is. But I want to encourage you today to begin to think about the Father as the Father that'll never, ever let you down. With the things that's within inside of you, whatever they may be, you know that God, who has created everything, has the strength in his hand to hold you and carry you. Okay? Now I'm going to get a little bit straightforward here. What are some of the things other than our preconceived ideas? Or maybe it's just things that we've been taught by the church. Maybe it's the things that society lives in, because I know if you go to other countries, their perspective of a father is a whole lot different than what we are used to. Whatever that may be, those things that are holding us back from really being overcomers, set the guidelines by our Father and his plan of loving us. What are the things that stop us and put something between my Father and me? I'm going to tell a little bit about myself. I can remember one time my dad, I was in my early teens, and he says, I got to talk to you. I thought, oh, shoot, because I was used to the bang, you know. He very seriously said, I need to talk to you. And so we sat down out in the barn, and he began to tell me something that I never knew. But he had something in between us because something that happened. And he says, I want you to forgive me. He didn't stop right there. He says, because I want you to be my son. And I want to be your father, your dad. So what are some of the things, and one of the maybe the major things that keeps us in arm's length or over against the wall when the Father's over here? What is that? And I'll be real frank, it's sin. There's something in your life that you have not confessed to God. And don't be afraid. You're not alone. Okay? But Jesus said, and as I said earlier, that when we accept Jesus Christ and we are born again from above, we are begotten. There are no grandchildren with God. We are all sons and daughters at that time. The mistake we make, one of the greatest sins in our lives, is the conception that we are not a son or a daughter. It says that he gave us the power, in other words, the authority, to become his son and his daughter at that rebirth or that begottening from heaven. At that point in our lives, God opened up the doors to his throne and he says, come on in. But some of us started walking that way, then backed off because, oh, this can't be God. So he set this in place with Jesus Christ dying and resurrecting. And I'll guarantee you, everyone that's made that decision knows that they are a child of God, or at least they know they made that decision. But Scripture says that it gives us the right to cry, Abba, Father. Hey, Dad. And to stand upright, face him in the face, and say, this is what's going on, and not be berated. That is my right as a son and daughter of God. The things of the sin in our lives minimizes that relationship. Excuse me. You know that the slaves at the time that the scriptures were written were never allowed to use the word Abba because they weren't children. Even if you were an adopted child, you had gained the rights to call Father Abba. It's one of the highest callings to a father to be able to be called that. Jesus is saying in that scripture, which in Romans 8, you have the right to call me Abba because you're not a slave. You're not just a mere servant. A lot of us have not overcome that fact that we think that we are a servant. We have service that we do. But, you know, you do your 8 hours, you do your work, and you go home. It's not that way with God. He wants each one of us to be able to come into his room and sit down with him and talk to him. If nothing else, for him to put his hand on our shoulder and say, I love you. But because of the nature of God, he does not allow sin in there. He has to be covered with the blood of Christ. So if you have not confessed that sin, you have something between you and your Father. I would hate, I literally would be distraught if I knew of something that was between me and my Father, my earthly Father. May not know what it is at the time, but you could tell when there's something not right. And maybe I do know because I did something terribly wrong. Okay. We're going to watch a 5-minute clip here from a movie called The Reavers. And I'm going to set the stage a little bit. I relate to this movie in a lot of ways because the young man, the boy, about 10, 12 years old, he's an ornery little cuss. He ends up being led away with an uncle and another man stealing grandpa's car back in the 1904 when there wasn't hardly any cars, and this was the talk of the town because grandpa had this nice car. Well, they end up stealing it and going to Memphis, Tennessee with it. While Grandpa and the family, there was a death in the family, so they took a train and went to the funeral. Well, obviously, he gets himself in a whole lot of trouble. And now the scene that you're going to see is him with his dad and with his granddad. I want you to pay very close attention to what's happening and what's said. It's in kind of earthly terms. I mean, it's not swearing or anything, but it's just earthly terms. I know that how earthly dad could get with the belt. I mean, it was real. But anyway, the father in this scene stands for justice. You get what you deserve. But the grandfather shows mercy. Please. He's working on it. We've had some trouble with this computer earlier this morning, so bear with us. You can kind of get the idea of what's going to happen. I don't know why you always had to go to the cellar.
The notion that that razor strap cancels out all of deceit and disobedience, and you're making it too easy for both of you.
Same thing you had done to me 25 years ago.
Maybe I got more sense now.
Go upstairs and persuade Allison to stop sniveling. You've been lively 4 days. What was it like? What did you do?
You want to hear everything?
Whatever you care to tell me.
We went to Mr. Binford's place.
I am acquainted with Mr. Binford's place.
They've got some very nice ladies there.
You spent the night?
Corey put me to bed.
Who would Corey be?
She's a friend of Boone's. She got to be my friend, too.
And then?
The next bed I slept in was Uncle Possum's. He's an old man, like you. Only color. He made me say my prayers.
Commendable.
I guess I'll have to say a lot of them from now on.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I've been telling lies.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Walkers.
I know. Come here.
I can't.
Why not? Because you're a liar?
Yes, sir.
Because you're afraid I won't ever trust you again? I don't consider you reliable? I've lost my respect for you? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
It's a heavy burden to carry, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, you may have to live with that feeling.
For the rest of my life?
No, but for a while.
I can't, boss.
Yes, you can. You will. Gentleman can live through anything. Gentleman accepts the responsibilities of his actions. Bears the burden of their consequences. Even when he himself did not instigate them, but only acquiesced to them. Didn't say no, though he knew he should have. Now come here.
My face was against his stiff collar and his shirt, and I could smell him. The starch, and the shaving lotion, and the chewing tobacco. And finally, that faint smell of whiskey from the toddy, which he took in bed every morning before he got up.
There, there, there now. Well, it must have emptied the cistern. Wash your face. A gentleman cries too. He always washes his face.
Thanks, Kyle. Obviously, you can tell that chokes me up a little bit. And I've watched that 24 times. The reason I played that was you can't get any more plain who God the Father is. He wasn't, the grandfather there was not at all worried about the sin. He wanted to love him. He wanted him to rise past that, like he said. You may have to carry this burden of your sin for a while, even though you're forgiven, because we have the knowledge of that. But what he wanted in that whole scenario was, Granddad wanted to put his arms around him. And he wanted to put his arms around him and say to him, I'm here. This is what it's all about. And as I watched that the first time, the thing that stuck so deep into my heart was, the boy was so close he could describe everything, even down to the smell of whiskey on the old man's breath. Have you been that close with God? Have you been that close to him that you can tell us what it smells like to be around him? I told this story to my sister the other day about a young girl who was born in dire straits. They didn't expect her to live, and she spent several months in neonatal care. And I believe she even lived in one of those respirators. And it was a daily watch to see if this young girl would live. I mean, the nurses would have to take a 24-hour vigil with this girl because that's how she was on the brink of life. And she's telling this story some years later. Obviously, because she's telling the story, she lived. And she was saying that when she was about 5 years old, that her mom and dad, when she was able to travel, they took her to her older brother's Little League game. This is in southeast Texas. And they were sitting high in the bleachers, and while the game's going on, one of them big Texas storms blew up. And it immediately began to just have a downpour. Well, because of her frail condition, they tried to protect her. And she said, no. And he said, well, aren't you afraid? She says, no, this is what God smells like. She'd been in the bosom of God all this time. And I'm not here to make you cry or make you do things. I'm here to tell you the way it is. That's the way God is. Jesus told the woman at the well that you're going to serve the God in heaven with in spirit and in truth, in reality. Get rid of all this traditions of men and go love your Father. I'm going to say the same for you. Don't let your own concept of what's going on with your Heavenly Father. Don't let all the hurts and the pains, which are real, I'm not overlooking them, but you need to take them directly to His lap and fall into His arms like that boy did. And if it's sin that has separated you from Him, let Him forgive you. Let Him forgive you. You know, so many of us have given Him a part of our life, or maybe 90% of our life, but there's that little bit. No, God, you can't do that. You can't have that. And He's saying, I can't give you all of my love. I just can't do it. Please. Please. He comes to us time and time and time again and says, just come to me. I know what's going on. You're not conning me any. Just come to me. You know, and I was reading new scriptures the other day about this. And when Jesus said to the disciples, if you believe in God, believe in me, or if you believe in, these are imperative statements. He's saying, he's going like this, you have to believe in me. You have to believe in God the Father. He's probably taking his index finger right in the chest of Peter and saying, you got to believe in me. And he goes up to Philip and Thomas when they said, show us the Father. And he says, you got to believe in me. That's, I mean, he's saying it pretty frank. When I was thinking about the scriptures that I was reading, I'm thinking, you know, it's not just believing that Christ died for us and attaching our faith to that to be reborn again. It's the thing really meets the road is my faith in my God to really love me and that He will wash everything away from me. Everything. We have a destiny to do in the kingdom of God, and we cannot be going out into the streets, as it were, dirty, because the fullness of the anointing will be compromised. I'm not trying to be a Billy Sunday here or anything, but I'm very strongly motivated with this subject because I don't want to see you come up short. I don't want to see a one of us not experience that love of our Father. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care. He doesn't care. He knows you're living in a fleshly world. And he's begging us, come unto me. Come unto me. The thing that will trip us up is our own self. And that's part of the faith, believing that if we step across that line and rush into his arms, even full of tears of sadness and grief and all that and sorrow, he's got a smile on his face. Good. 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 Smell the whiskey on my breath. I'm being facetious a little bit. But smell the starch in my collar. Can you smell the rain because that's where I live? You'll never, ever be the same. You'll never be the same. Jesus spent a good time with the few disciples trying to get them to let go of their traditions, to let go of themselves and be loved by the Father. And now there's a family or people, disciples, that have generations of traditions that they couldn't get past. But God finally did and looked at what happened to every one of them. Some of those went clear into China and ministered the gospel. I'm going to beg you, by the mercies of God, to be honest and go to him. If you feel that you want to help pray through some of those things, you're more than welcome. Todd, if you want to come and just play a little bit. If you're just struggling with the acknowledgement of what I've talked about, does that seem too far, too unreal to really be happening to somebody? Is the pain so great from your experiences in life holding you back? Or maybe it's the sin in our life that's maybe there has been long standing and unrepented from. That's almost a slap in God's face with that long standing unrepented sin. But you know, God is so great, so powerful in his own self, he looks on past that and he's continually holding that hand out. Even as Jesus was dying on the cross, he was ministering to the people. Through all of his pain, through all of his agony, he was still ministering to the people. That's the way God is with us. He's still wanting to love you. Don't let the guilt of your sin hold you back. Don't let your preconceived ideas of what God is hold you back. There's one pure element that he is love. He wants you to be able to stand strong. He wants you to come to his throne and experience it in truth. So let the Holy Spirit touch you today. If you'd like to stand, if you want to stand, please. I'll say again, if you have a feeling that you want prayer here and you want to give this opportunity to allow it to work full with you, to fall into the Father's arms, please come. Please come. there is no greater power in earth than the love of God. He'll pull your heart right out of your chest to love you and put it back completely new. But you have to make the decision to give it to Him. Okay? So if you'd like to come, anybody, you're welcome to come. Jesus also said in the scripture on John 14:1, it opens up with, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. The word troubled there means that your heart's boiling, just like a pot on the oven or on the stove. It's just rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. Don't let your heart be boiling. Believe in me, he says. Anyone else? You know, some of those that want to pray with those that's here, please come. And I'm going to say this as we close. You can do this on your own. When you go home sometime today, tomorrow, whenever you have your alone time with God, throw the doors open and say, here I come, God. Here I come, Father. You can't run hard enough to get to Him quick enough, and He will be there with you. But if you're tentative, then put a light tap on the door and He answers, and He'll answer. He'll say, come on in. You'll never regret it, ever. Jesus Christ loves you. Let's pray. Father, we just... Sometimes you're just straightforward and you talk to us in truth because you don't want us to be misled. You don't want us to miss the mark. But we ask God in your great mercies and your great loving kindness that you take every heart in this room and just wrap them in your arms. Hold them tenderly. Whisper in their ear as you bring them close how much you love them. Open the word of the Bible to them that they could begin to see all that you are. You are the great loving Father, we thank you for your love. Bless each one of us, Lord, for your name's sake. May your kingdom come through them, and may the destiny that you have chose for everyone be fulfilled. We just thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. We just praise you and praise you. Now we ask you to dismiss us with your blessings and safety as we travel. We just love you, Lord, with all of our heart. Amen. You're dismissed.